something, but anyway, I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All of us recognize this as what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And for the subject, I want to just call our lesson the Master's Pattern Prayer. The Master's Pattern Prayer. And the reason we say that it is a pattern is because of the word after this manner, after this pattern, therefore pray. So he is giving the disciples a pattern for prayer. This is not his prayer, but this is a prayer that he wants us to inculcate into our nature and the nature of our prayers. He says, our Father. When he says, our Father, what I want to do is to share with you some things that I feel that needs to come to mind whenever you acknowledge him as our Father. He did not say Jehovah. He did not say Jehovah Jireh. He did not say Jehovah Nisi. He did not say Jehovah Shalom. He did not say Jehovah Shammah. He said, say our Father. God is known by all of these wonderful talents, attributes, nature, and his work. But he chose to say our Father. Reason is because his coming into this world, him being the only begotten of the Father. Notice in your reading, you will find throughout the New Testament that the term Father is almost exclusively used in reference to God. It shows relationship. And so Father becomes the term that he wants us to use. When you say Father, I want you to immediately think in terms of a person. Don't think that you're praying into the air. No, there is a person that you're praying to, and he is your Father. Now, when I see Father, several things come to mind from my study. Number one, you can only be a child of God, a son of God, through redemption and mediation. He may be the creator of all mankind, but he is not the father of all mankind. The Father is a term that is used to show relationship that has come about through a covenant that has become between that person and God. Galatians 4 and verse number 4 proves the fact that you and I are privileged to be called the sons of God, but it comes through redemption and mediation. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. It's just Father, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. Watch them now. You are no more a servant, but you are a son. And if you are a son, then you are heirs of God through Christ Jesus. I wish I had time to go into that and just really break that down. But I want you to know that you and I, to be able to call him Father through the redemption, the purchasing of us through Christ and his sacrificing of himself and his blood. That's a privilege. That is something that you and I should always remember. Whenever you say Father, know something had to happen in order for that to become a reality. What happened? Jesus came and redeemed us and becomes the mediator between us and his heavenly Father. When I hear and use the word Father, not only do I think in terms of redemption and mediation, but I think in terms of dependence. A father is someone you can depend on. A father is someone who protects. A father is someone who provides. I know this to be a fact. When he said, our Father, Father should bring into your mind how you can depend upon God. Drop down to verse number 25 in Matthew chapter 6 and listen to what he says. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I sat on my back porch, and I watched the birds. They made a little nest up in the corner of the roof over my patio. And I wanted to knock it down. But I said, no, I'm not going to do that because some eggs may already be in there. And those birds, I tell you, if I walk out, they just come all around my head. And I know it's because of that nest that's up there. And I watch how God takes care of those birds. And I said to myself, this text is true. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. And then he asked the question, are ye much better than they? If God, our Father, heavenly Father, is feeding the birds, and he's my Father, but yet he's taking care of those birds, then I know that the one who lives in the house where they made the nest, that God has more care and he provides more for me in the house. That's why he said, take no thought for your raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. But I'm telling you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Your heavenly Father is the one that clothed the grass, gave the flowers what they need. So I am simply saying, when you say Father, think of redemption. Father, think of mediation. Father, think of dependence. Father, think of provision. Father, think of protection. When you think and see or use the word Father, you should also think of the love of God. A father who loves you. Go with me, and I want you to put this on the screen. Psalm 103, and I want to look at verse number 10. Watch what the Bible says. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Well, how great is it? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. In other words, that word pitieth means compassion. The Lord is able to have compassion for us. Notice the next verse. The Bible says, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. In other words, he is simply trying to show you, I know that you as human beings don't live up to the standard that I have put forward for you to live. I know that you sin. I know that you have iniquity, but I don't have a relationship with you based on you meriting this relationship. I want you to know that I'm a God who loves you. in spite of your sin. I'm a God who loves you in spite of your iniquity. How much do you love me? Love you enough that I can put so much distance between what you do wrong and my ability to forgive you for it? As far as the east is from the west, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Last time I checked, 93 million miles between earth and the sun. Oh, Lord, you mean to tell me you got that much mercy? When you say, our Father, think in terms of the love of God. It's the love of God that motivated God to do what he did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So when I say our Father, I think in terms of God's love. I think in terms of God's mediation. I think in terms of God's redemption, his protection, his dependence, our dependence on him, and how he provides for us. He says, our Father. Well, why did he say our Father? It's because he's not just mine, he's yours too. He is the father of every person who feareth him. He is the father of every person who has gone into covenant relationship with him. Every person that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and come into sonship, he is to be considered. Don't ever go to God and just say, you can go to God and say, my Father, but and you got scripture for that. But he says the model prayer is that I want you not to just go on your behalf. There's a general rule that you must go to God with your brother in mind. He's right, because he said that don't come to the altar and knowing that you have aught against your brother. And he said, go first reconcile with your brother, then come to the altar. God wants us to have fellowship with him, relationship with him, but he wants us to have relationship with one another. Don't tell me that you love me, who you have not seen, and you hate your brother, whom you see daily. God says you can't do it until you recognize that I'm your father. I'm the father of the one that you hate. I'm the father of the one that you despise. I'm the one who feeds, and I'm the one who provides. I'm the one who gives. So it's our Father. Well, I like the fact that he also says, which art in heaven. Now, I want you to, when you say our Father, to think of a person. But then when you say, which art in heaven, I want you to think of a real place. Place is very important. Place is important. Whenever I would say, when my father was living, and I would think of my father, I always associated my father with a place. My father, Fort Worth. Your father, you'll always think of a place. You cannot think of your father. You cannot think of your parent. You cannot do it without thinking of where they are. God wants us, when you pray, I need you to focus not only on me, our relationship, but I need you to focus on a place. What place do you want me to focus on? I want you to focus on heaven. Heaven is a place, and that's where God resides. So when you say our Father, always know which art in heaven. This place in heaven is where Jesus came from. If you've been reading, and you know our reading shows us how that the relationship between Jesus and Christ, he constantly said that the Father sent me. I'm not here on my own. Words that I speak, my Father gave me to speak. He understands that the Father in heaven sent him here on earth. But Jesus' focus is always on his Father. When he finished his mediatorial work, when he resurrected from the dead, the Bible says that he gathered together with his disciples, and while he was talking to them, a cloud received him up into heaven. In other words, I'm going back where I came from. I came from heaven, and I'm going back to heaven. Heaven, when you pray, is a real place. That place called heaven is to be in our minds and in our heart. See yourself as a pilgrim and a stranger. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10 and 11. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Heaven is really where I have my citizenship. Philippians 3 and verse number 17. So in my prayer life, I recognize the Father. I recognize that there's a place called heaven. That's why Jesus will tell us that heaven should be thought of, because it's so different from the place where you are. Abraham knew that. God called him from a place in Ur of the Chaldees and said, I'm going to show you a place that I'm going to give you. When he got to the place, the scripture says that Abraham, after he had gone through the land of Canaan, the Bible says that he died in faith. Why? Because he looked for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. There is a place beyond this veil of tears. You can go from place to place. I hear people say, well, Brother Gibbs, I'm going to have to move and I'm going to have to change my residence because there's just too much going on here. Do what you want to do. But I'm going to tell you, wherever you move, you're going to find some sin. You're going to find, you're going to find corruption. You're going to find it everywhere. If you go across the sea, because here on this earth, that's all you're going to find is corruption, sin, disappointment. But when you pray, that's why you need to look up when you pray. Look up from where you are. Look up out of your situation, because there is a place called heaven where there is no sin, where there is no corruption. It's a place where God lives. And God says, if you pray and say, our Father, which art in heaven, I know that this has to be in the mind and in the heart of every child of God, that this is a place called heaven. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me, believe also in my Father. Well, if you believe in my Father, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. Would not have told you if it were not so. I go, watch this, to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Pray like you're going to heaven. Pray like there's a better place than this place. Pray like God is your Father. Pray like he's the one that takes care of you. Pray knowing that you have a relationship with a God who's not holding my sins against me. Pray that you got a God that'll forgive you. When you pray like that, it'll put strength in your life, strength in your situation, and you'll be able to go through the things of this world. So, our Father, which art in heaven, make the distinction. There is a place called heaven. I like this third thing in this point of adoration. He said, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to sanctify. It means to revere him. It means, ladies and gentlemen, that we keep him holy. God should never be brought to a point where he's your buddy. Never brought to a point where he's just another friend. He has a friendly relationship with you. He loves you, but I'm telling you, God wants you to always keep him above. Keep him, amen. So when you pray, not only think of a person, not only think of the place, but always think of preeminence. Give God the preeminence. Make sure that God has the supremacy. God has the ascendancy. He is incomparable to anybody. Don't put him down on a level. When you cry, Abba, Father, I know you say, well, I want to call him Daddy. And well, and Pawpaw. No. He's more than your Pawpaw and your Daddy. He's the Father, and his name must be hallowed among us. When Moses approached, after hearing from the burning bush, Moses, first thing God said, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. If we don't recognize the hallowedness of God's name, his character, keep God where he belongs. That's why the Bible is right. In Psalm 111 and verse number 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Watch this. Holy and reverent is God's name. God is to be elevated in holiness and in righteousness. Don't ever forget that. God is to be hallowed I'm afraid that there are a lot of people in our world today that needs to keep God separated from just average, ordinary mankind. God has to be lifted up. Am I right? Go with me. And I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 23. And I want to look at verse number 6. I'm getting ready to, you know, I'm flying over this territory, but I need to drop a few bombs here and there. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going where I'm going, but since I'm over this territory, I need to say something right here. Because, you see, in the denomination where men would call themselves Reverend this and Reverend that, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Holy and Reverend, I still believe Holy and Reverend is God's name. No man can ever be on the level of God Almighty. I know we say, well, we're just trying to make a distinction. We want to honor. No, give God honor. Don't ever put a man on the same level as, amen, as God Almighty. Holy and Reverend. And I notice most of them have quit calling themselves Reverend. Have you noticed that? They don't use Reverend. You know why? Let me tell you why they don't use Reverend. It's because we work that thing over. Amen. Amen. In the Church of Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to. We worked it over. We told them what redemption meant. We told them what his covenant meant. And we told them, and they stopped calling themselves Reverend. And now they call themselves Pastor. Amen, amen. Y'all getting quiet on me now. Amen, amen, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I got a problem with this term called pastor. The minister is not pastor. The preacher is not pastor. Pastor is for men who have been qualified by the scripture. They hold a distinct office separate and apart from the preacher. They're called elders, pastors. Y'all quiet now. Amen, amen. And there were a plurality of them. You never had no one pastor in the New Testament. Y'all quiet. That's all right. I'll preach by myself. Am I right about it? There are pastors. Matthew 23, verse number 6. Watch what the Bible says. All right, I know I've gotten, But sometimes, watch this. They love the uppermost rooms. This is talking about the Pharisees. Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. Verse number 7. Greetings in the markets to be called of men. Rabbi. Watch this now. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. All ye are brethren. Verse number 9. Call no man your father upon the earth. One is your father, which is in heaven. Shame on us if we call anybody, anywhere, religiously, a title, father. God is to be hallowed. One is your father, which is in heaven. We only have one master, one redeemer, one mediator, Jesus Christ. Never put a man on the level with God Almighty. We have gotten to the point that even in the churches of Christ, we have members calling is even on their stationery. Senior pastor. Shame on us. Y'all quiet. That's all right. Now let me take my glasses off so I can see how you're really looking. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, no. We got to stand for the truth. And if you use the term doctor for a religious title, shame on you for that. Amen, amen. Oh, Brother Gibbs, you were doing all right when you were talking about our Father. No, I'm still talking about our Father. I'm talking about hallowing our Father. Did I look ugly while I was saying all of that? I don't mean to do that. But I am simply saying that God has to be hallowed. Are you with me? Watch verse number 10. But go back to verse number 9. Call no man father upon earth, for one is your Father, which is where? In where?
Verse number 10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Verse number 11. But he that is what? Greatest among you shall be your what? Now, how many of us want to just call ourselves servant? Servant Shelton. Servant. No. Pastor. And I'm going to tell you. Am I looking all right? All right. Listen to me. We. Let me go back to what I was going to say. No. It's not because I'm afraid. You ought to know by now, I ain't afraid to say it. But sometimes wisdom says, maybe you better save that for another time. And so I'm going to save that one. Let me get back to my point, because I think I've made that clear enough. And that is, I like this fact that he says, our Father, person, which art in heaven, place, hallowed be thy name, that he has the preeminence. But then, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Watch this. As it is where? In heaven. Now, kingdom comes from a word, basileia. This word simply means the right or the authority to rule over a kingdom. God, your rule. God, your authority. The authority that you have in heaven. The rule that you have in heaven. May that rule and authority be here upon the earth. Thy kingdom come. When you study kingdom, you'll find that God has always had the authority. There's never been a time that God has abdicated his rule and his authority. God is just who he is, and his kingdom is one of rule and authority. But while he desired that his kingdom and his rule in heaven be applied to us on earth, his rule and his authority was applied in the Garden of Eden. When God made Adam and Eve, God's rule and God's authority was in the Garden of Eden. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? Because God said the tree that's in the middle of the garden, day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I rule. I have the authority. Are you with me? After Adam and Eve sinned, God brought his rule and his authority to a people who are called the Israelites or the Jewish nation. God called a man by the name of Abraham. God gave him his grandson, Jacob. Jacob gave us 12 sons. 12 sons. There was a nation built out of those 12 sons. God called them out of Egyptian bondage. God redeemed them. God sanctified them. God made them a kingdom of priests. God in Israel, out of all of the nation, God placed his rule. God placed his authority. God is known through Israel. God was known through Adam and Eve. Now, when he says, thy kingdom come, God is in the business of now broadening his rule and his authority. God is getting ready to establish the church. The church is universal. All men will be brought into this church. The church of Christ, the church on earth, is the kingdom of God. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Jesus built the church. Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of God. Jesus is the one who told the apostles on the day of his ascension, going back to heaven, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. Wait until you receive power. The power came on the day of Pentecost. When the power came, the kingdom came. He said the kingdom will come with power. Church of Christ is where the rule and the authority of God resides in the world today. God is exercising rule and authority in the church of Christ, in his church that he built on the day of Pentecost. I know I got happy, and I felt that in my back, so I'm going to have to be careful here. Amen, amen, amen. All right, but I'm not hurting, but I just know better than to keep preaching like I'm preaching. Now listen, as I close, here's what I know, is that the church of Christ, if you study it, Jesus would say in his early ministry, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist would preach, kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom did come in the days that they were living right then, because it came on the day of Pentecost. We're living in the kingdom. We are part of the kingdom, Colossians 1 and verse number 13. We are part of the rule and the authority of God Almighty. But there's something else that I want you to see as I close. He said, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. The kingdom has come and it's here. But maybe the kingdom hadn't come for you and for your house and for your family. Does God have the rule and the authority in your home? Does God have the rule and the authority in your life? If God doesn't have the rule and the authority in your life, then the kingdom needs to come. Kingdom needs to come to your house. Kingdom needs to come to your life. I pray that everybody will allow God's rule and his authority to reside on this earth. Let me tell you, President Trump needs to understand that the rule and the authority of God rests within him and him alone. Until we line up with God Almighty, then we're out of step in the world in which we live. I'm here to tell you that I stand for Jesus. I preach Jesus. I preach the kingdom of God. I don't have to be a part of all these political parties. I already got a political party. It's in the church of Christ. Christ's church is my political party. Amen, walks and amen. Like, my back is hurting again. Amen. I gotta hold up on this thing. Amen, amen. Am I doing the truth? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And then I'm going to tell you this. I started that, but then I got to preaching again. But listen, Brother Hobbs, here's what I know, is that in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And watch this. All these things, that's all your needs, will be added unto you. Now, when you think in terms of Father, place, heaven, no, person, heaven, place, hallowed be thy name, preeminence. But on this one, I want you to think of priority. Priority simply means that I must put the kingdom first. Here's what this means, that whatever's going on in my life, I'm going to have to interpret it through the kingdom. In other words, I know I'm coming to you, God, because I got a back problem. But God says, now, before you get to your back, I need to know, Shelton, are you putting my kingdom? How am I going to get some blessing? How am I going to get some glory through your experience with your back? Somebody say, well, I'm coming to God because I lost my job. God want to know. How am I going to get some glory through your loss of job? How is the kingdom going to be prospered? So many of us want to prioritize ourselves and what's going on with me. But God said, don't come to me with yours, because my will and my authority has to be done first. And if it's not in keeping with what I want, all things work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. That's when God will work. I'm telling you, when you put it in God's hand and you let God come first, the kingdom come first, God will work it out. And you know, here's the blessing. When that happened to me that early in the morning, I really can't tell you what really messed my back up. But I just know that I went down. And I was doing everything I could to make it Sunday morning. Yes. Had heating pads, everything. And by 3 o'clock, when I got up, I just couldn't walk. It was so excruciating just to walk. So I said, I can't go. So that's when I knew I was going to have to call John. And Say it's too early to call him. 3 o'clock in the morning. So I waited to 5:30 in the morning. So I told you that earlier. But here's what I saw. Because I interpret things through the kingdom. When I listened to John's sermon, and I realized that the stage had been set for Vacation Bible School, the superheroes, the sermon that I had didn't fit that. But the sermon that John had fit that. And so God said, you ain't going today. No, I got somebody else. The sermon that he's preaching is the one that the people need. So I glorified him. I did. Down on my back, I glorified him. When I heard the sermon, I said, thank you, God. I hear you well. You're in control of this thing. It's about you. It ain't about me or nobody else. God is in control. It's not even about John either. Amen. God is the one who has this thing in control. And I love him. And I'm willing to submit myself to whatever his will would be. And whatever happens to me, whatever happens to anybody, find a way to give God glory in the middle of it. And watch what God will do. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Ask yourself, am I selfish in my prayers? Is it all about me when I go to him?
Amen.
Do I go to him without faith, believing that he's going to really take care of me when he's promised that he will? God, have I somehow put myself above you or put some other things above you? Have I yet found a way in the midst of what I'm going through to bring glory and honor to your great and holy name? He says, if you learn that lesson, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, a whole lot of straightened out in your life. May God bless you. Will you come? Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, I want to come. Just like Nicodemus wanted to come. He wanted to come. He went to Jesus by night. And Jesus told him, said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, well, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter into the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Nicodemus, I thought you was a teacher. If I tell you heavenly things, how you going to believe? I know if I tell you about other things and then you don't know that and don't understand that, if I tell you heavenly things, you ain't going to understand that. He said, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There are some people here who want God's protection. They want God's They want to depend on God, but God is not your Father until you've submitted yourself and been born again. And you got to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel is that which saves a man. The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of death. The gospel is God's power to bring a man out of sin and give him that relationship and separate him from his sin, from the east to the west. As high as the heavens are above the earth. God will do it in Jesus Christ. But you're going to have to believe that he is and accept his son as the son of God and be willing to tell the world, I believe that Jesus Christ, he is the son of God. He walked this earth to prove to you that he is the son of God. He said, if you don't even doubt who I am, he said, believe the works that I've done. Believe how I opened the eyes of the blind. Believe what I've done when I gave deaf people their ears back. Believe what I've done when I raised a man from the dead. You believe that? I'm spitting over everything, am I not? Preach. Am I?
Preach.
Huh?
Preach. Preach, brother. Okay. Preach.
It's all right, brother.
Preach, boy.
That's all right. Telling you, he said, you got to believe that he is. Then you're going to have to repent of your sin. Yep. Luke 13:3, I tell you, but except you repent, you're going to all likewise perish. Except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sin. If you don't repent, you're going to die, and you can't be saved. You'll be condemned. Now he commandeth men everywhere to repent. But he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man who died for you. And then you're going to have to confess him. Tell the world, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. Lose your life. For my sake, you'll find it every time. Tell the world, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go down with him in the water of the grave of baptism. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, I don't see what's in the air. He asked you to see what was in the water. He told you to get in the water. The water is that which identifies you with him. And he will forgive you of your sin. And then he'll add your name to the adopted children of God. And you'll become one of his sons. And you'll become the one that he oversees. Will you come? Maybe you strayed from it. Maybe you don't count it like you should. I'm asking you to recalibrate your life. Get your life back on track. Get the kingdom set straight first. And watch how God will work out your life. Will you come? Come right now. While together we stand and sing. Will you come?
903. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin to all I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm
coming home.